good opportunity to shoot that up there. Yeah, this Thursday was a wonderful time, and that's my text this morning. I wrote that on the southern entrance into the new foyer of the church, and this Thursday night we're going to be every Thursday. The Mega Men's going to be meeting on that ground from 6 to 7. And we may not have pizza every week like we had last week, but we're going to have good fellowship. And I know what the ladies are thinking. I heard them. When's our time? When is our time? Well, talk to Renee. But turn to John chapter 1, if you would. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There was a man sent from God. And before I read there, I'll give you time to get there. Just go to verse 14, if you would. We believe, we believe series is going to last. I know what you're saying. Don't say it 52 weeks, but as you know, each week's different. We believe that the Word became flesh, and what we believe determines your destiny, your security, your eternity, how you handle conflict, and whether if you really know God. And we're going to go on a journey over the next few weeks. Really, it's going to be a journey that's going to allow you to really look deep. It's going to be a journey that's going to allow you to draw from the springs of salvation, that which is eternal, that which never returns void. But it has to start at this point. See, for 2,000 years, there's been those that boast in their systematic theology, and we need systematic theology. There's those that boast in what they know, and that's what this is. We need to know what we know. But if you do not start on where we are this Sunday, that the Word became flesh, at the most, you're going to become a Christian humanist. Paul knew all about the law of God. He knew it all. He was prepped at the feet of Gamaliel. He had his earned Juris Doctorate in the law of God, if you would. But into his calling, he came to that place knowing the Word, knowing the Word that became flesh, Jesus. And he came to this conclusion. It's not my text. It says, oh, that I might know him and the power of the resurrection, even with the sufferings that come with it. We believe what we believe really matters, folks. And you need to know what you believe, because people are going to start asking you. And we're going to have to get a little bit deeper than what we've been. What we believe determines, listen, if we really can believe. I don't know about you, but we need to believe God now more than ever for our needs, our future, our safety, our provision, our bills, our relationships. You fill in the blank. Amen? The Barna Institute polled Americans as well as those who claimed to have a born-again experience. A cross-section of those who didn't claim not to know the Lord and those who claimed to know him. The questions were as follows. Do you believe that there are absolute moral truths? Do you believe that the Bible is totally accurate in the principles it teaches? Do you believe Satan is a real being or force, not just an idea? Do you believe that one can't earn his way to heaven by good works or being good? Do you believe that Christ lived a sinless life? Do you believe that God is the all-powerful, all-knowing creator? Boy, what a difference a generation makes. What a difference 10 years makes. Unfortunately, what a difference 3 years makes. Here's the latest stats. Only 9% of all Americans claim to believe these tenets of faith. Those that are between the ages of 18 and 23, only less than 1% hold that belief. Okay, well, let's talk about the believers. Those that claim to have had a born-again experience. Now we should get off the charts, right? Only 19% believe. If you can't say, oh my, say, help us, Lord. Listen, for the last several years, you've heard something come to the surface of my heart and mouth as I make an appeal week to week to week that we do not want you just to be inspired when you come into this place. Because throughout America, you're seeing something that I've said for about 3 years now, at least. People are getting inspired, but are they really getting born again? Are they really getting to know the God that became flesh, the Word that became flesh? And do they really know what they believe? Because what we believe, what we claim we know, will dictate our philosophy, will dictate our morality, and will dictate our direction in life. So could you imagine that as we pour the foundations that you saw on that building, we are re-pouring the foundations in 2009 on first who we believe in, and which is first and foremost, and what we believe. You're going to need to know. We need to know what we believe. Why? So that when I come to God in my need, I could stand on His Word. He will honor His Word. He will honor His Word. It may not be in my time. It may not be exactly what I want, as I think I should deserve it or get it. But He will honor His Word. If I know that God hears and answers prayer, if I believe what it says in 1 John 4, that He will give me the answer to the petitions that I've asked, I need to know what makes up the petition. I need to know what I believe so I can come to Him biblically. I'm tired of believers and even ministers on emotional roller coasters, on trying to earn something from God or trying to go from left to right, when they just need to know the Word of God, that God is not fickle. And we need to ask God in faith believing, and it says in James 1. We need to know whom we believed. We need to start knowing what we believe, folks, and we're going to know it. And it's so typical that we're at the place of digging footers. We've done that. Pouring yards upon yards of concrete, and we've done that to build our footers. We're going to build a foundation. You're going to see that this year, as this new building is built, God is going to rebuild or build for some the first time the infrastructure of what's going to allow us to stand, not with clay feet. Amen? But stand, so that the only thing we have to do during warfare, tragedy, terrorism, or depression is, as Scripture says in Ephesians 6, just stand and watch the glory of God. 19% of those who claim to be born-again believers only believe in these tenets of faith that have lasted 2,000 years in Christianity. This is the reason why early church fathers came up with creeds to recite and memorize before the average Christian was even allowed to hold the canon of Scripture. You wonder why there were certain traditions that we were experienced. Because it was the only way that people would know what they believed. In some denomination, the Word of God was, the common folks weren't allowed to have it. That's what threw the world into the dark age. A series of hierarchy priests or ministers would say, you don't know, we have to tell you what the Word of God says. So that's the reason why there was a lot of creeds, Nicene, Apostles' Creed, that they were, thank God, they were forced to recite. That slowly, for most of Christianity, weaned down because we were given a canon of Scripture. However, we need to understand the importance of what the people knew, even through the centuries. And why they had to memorize it. These creeds arose out of the early Western church and should be thought of as a summary of the apostles' teaching rather than directly attributed to them. Originally, it was essentially a baptismal confession and had several variations. The form in use today dates from the 8th century. So we could say the form used since the 8th century is as follows. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe that He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father of God Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy, now this is a small c, Catholic Church, I'll get to that in a minute. The communion of the saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The word Catholic in this creed does not mean the Roman Catholic Church. It is used as more of an adjective than a noun, the Christian church as a whole. And that word Catholic, it means distributed. It means all-inclusive. Really, it should have been that way, right? All-inclusive. Now we can look at our text. We'll start at verse 6 from John chapter 1. Some of you, I was looking out of the corner of my eye. You just start zipping into the Apostles' Creed, clicking it, man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light. I'm going to tell you something. John, the beloved, out of the 12, there was the three, the inner circle. There was the one, John, that laid his head on the chest of Christ. He even boasted of himself in his gospel that he was the one that Jesus loved. But he wasn't the light. The apostles were not the light. There's no earthly man in Rome or Constantinople or Alexandria or Springfield that's the light. There's no pastor that's the light, the light. The light is Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man, woman, and child coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Let that sink in. The world was made through the babe of Bethlehem. And the world did not know him. It sounds like the statistics I gave you this morning, it's all over again. 1%, less than 1% of 18 to 23-year-olds don't know him. 11% of America don't know him. Isn't it scary that 19% of those who profess a born-again experience don't really know him? And if that's not bad enough, catch this. Verse 10 said, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. That's like that 19% group. And his own didn't receive him. See, we got to be careful because the world, America right now, and the 20 most developed nations, I don't know if you caught that speech yesterday, of the 20 most developed nations gather together towards the end of this week and talking about whatever it takes to get the world back in its economic dynamic. But they don't know him. How could they leave him out of the dynamic, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the oil wells and diamonds, who by his handiwork made this globe and hung it and suspended it and made the moon and his sun and his stars and the galaxies? Came to his own. People are searching for answers as those 20 leaders of the developed nations, the most developed nations. People are going to be coming to you. You can't give them what they already know, and they don't know him. You need to give them him. He who has the Son has life. Thus in him is lightness, is provision, it's water, it's oil, it's wine, it's manna, it's stuff for this life and a promise of eternal life. We have what the 20 most developed nations, what the non-developed nations, the developing nations need, what your neighbor needs, what the world needs. We have it. My God, we are privileged. We are blessed. Guard it with your life. And don't be ashamed of this gospel that has it. You better start knowing what we believe. If you know what you believe and you build your life in him and the Word of God, You won't go from every wind and doctrine. You won't be bouncing around. You won't have to go through a works-oriented. You don't have to second-guess your life, your mandate, your gifts. He came to his own. His own received him not. But verse 12. But those 19%. Those that I'm looking at now. Almost 32 years ago. As many as received him. If you don't remember as an adult, if you don't remember when you received him, at the most you're a Christian humanist. If I were to ask every one of you your birth date, you would know it. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die only once and live forever. And you're saying, well, hey, I love God. I've been coming here. I believe everything. I don't know my second birthday, my new birth. Well, guess what? Open up your Bible. Mean it in your heart. Confess it with your lips by the end of the service. And you write down Sunday, March 15th, 2009, I had a second birthday. I'm born again. I'll live forever. Because I know him, the word that became flesh. But as many as received him, not an ism, not the church, though we are the church, the head of the church, the him, but as many received him, to them, he gave the right. And I hope you're living like it. That's the only way this family grows. Hey, we're building a new building. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you build it, it's not necessarily true that they shall come. There's a lot of shock and awe in this world today. You ask these young people, from twittering to games that are so real, the things that they do to occupy and keep their fancy in mind changes. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become something that the 20 most developed nations, unless they've caught on that same route, have nothing compared to you. The children of God. We became the children of God. Some people fantasize, what it would be like to be a child. That Saudi king, that royal family in the United Kingdom. Nothing, nothing to what you are. Having the royal blood of the word that became flesh running through your spiritual veins. As many as received him, that's you and I, and some of you that will make that choice today, to them he gave the right to become something. We become, not join, we become the children of God. How? To those, we can't get away from it, huh? I'm having so much fun. I say, God, you know how I freak out before 4 weeks before Christmas, having four different Christmas messages. And then I say, God, I committed myself to 52 weeks of belief. It's getting easier each week. It's amazing everywhere I look to those who believe. Pisces, I respond. I believe it. Thus the evidence is I live it and follow it. There's no greater deal in town. There's no God like my daddy. Hallelujah. There's no God like our Father. That word that became flesh. Jesus said, you see me, you've seen the Father. In him is the fullness of Godhead in bodily form. And we make up his body. It's time that we stop wimping out. Stop apologizing. Stop living with one foot in the world. One foot in this in the church. We are the children of God. The greatest family. The longest long. Longevity for eternity, the greatest beginning, the most hope, the greatest gifts, the greatest firepower, the greatest army. We are the children of God because we believe that the word became flesh and we believe in his name. For some of you today, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's going to be the God that provides. For some of you, he's Jehovah Rohi. He's the great shepherd. He's some of you who come here for peace this morning. He's Jehovah Shalom. Some of you have tried religion, tried being good. You've been by yourself. He's going to become Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shalom. Come on. He's the God that will be your righteousness. He's a God that will never leave you or forsake you. For some of you that are sick, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals you. Verse 13. Who were born not of the blood. Done that once. It's a messy, isn't it? It's when you're born the first time. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. I can't make you something that only God can make you. You can't make me something only God could make me. But of Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, God Almighty. I'm going to tell you something, though. Oh, they're going to take God. They're going to take God. Pastor, they're going to put you in jail for preaching Jesus. I don't care. There'll be 800 people standing up behind me, you, and you'll preach him. He's the only one worth living. He's the only Savior of the world. I'm not worried about what's going on in this country. Because God is about to shine. And I'll tell you, it's going to shine. You know how what it's like to see a new moon or a full moon? It lights up the whole sky. We're not the source. He's the source. But when he starts shining on you, that's how he's going to shine in this generation until he returns. Verse 14, and that word became flesh. Go back to that foundation picture. That's their text. That's the keynote verse text, John 1:14. And the word became flesh. And the Hebrew transliterated word of the Greek word for dwell is tabernacled. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's why when they saw Jesus, demons screamed. The ill and the sinner cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Prostitutes that could have died for their sin, stoned to death, would run to him and pour their alabaster box, wash his feet with their hair and tears. Because he's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And listen, like we just saw a little while ago, and we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, turn that placard bulletin over. A few things we need to know. See, when you preach about salvation, you better be prepared. I put salvation in everything in this place, but if you preach about salvation, you better give people a chance to get saved. You preach about healing, you better give people a chance to get healed. When you start knowing what you believe, you better be careful. People are going to start asking you what you believe. The worship, as beautiful as it is, tabernacles the Spirit of God on us for us to lay hold of the Word that became flesh, to receive our marching orders, for the Word of God is the only thing that will not return void, that will last forever. And that is the thing that cuts asunder between the spirit and the soul of men. And all of us for naught if it's not about the Word that became flesh. We believe that the Word became flesh. We believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, King. Number one, we believe in the Word that became flesh. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. That's why when John the Baptist saw him, let me tell you, he was used to seeing all the scribes and Pharisees. He was used to seeing them walk in the streets of Jerusalem. He was used to seeing them at the temple. No big wow. But when he saw Jesus, something came over John. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He immediately believed that he is the fullness of God in bodily form. He saw him. He said, listen, I'm not the man. He's the man. I'm not worthy to unlatch his sandals, but he's coming. He's going to baptize in his spirit and with fire. We believe that he's the fullness of God in bodily form. John 1:1, how do you like this? This is pretty intense. In the beginning was the Word. Listen, the Word was with God. Catch this. And the Word was God. That's why I was able to say before the manger, he is the I Am. Before Abraham, that's who Abraham really met, the I Am. Moses in the fiery bush, he saw the I Am. In Genesis, he's seen in the fullness of God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, plural masculine pronoun, let us. Could you imagine? He's talking to Jesus before the manger. He's talking to the person of the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And listen, let them, as a result, listen, let them, that's us, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. No, today we got to worship the fish. And I worship the trees. My God, more rights than an unborn baby. Over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we believe in the Word that became flesh. He's the fullness of God in bodily form. God didn't waste any time in the first chapter of Genesis. He sets this legal precedent. This is why we believe, because He is who He is. He is the great I Am, and He is with us. Turn to Exodus, the next chapter, the next book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3, or look up here, verse 12, 13, and 14. And He said, God speaking to the man of God, to Moses, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought this people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Only God could have thought of this. God, only this. This is just incredible. The mind of God and God who he is. I get blown away every time I see this. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children, I am has sent you. He is the I Am in Genesis. He is the I Am as well as in the Gospel of John. In Jesus in John 6:51, he said this, I am, sound familiar? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for this life in the world. Jesus also said in John 10:10, he diminished the devil. He called him a thief. He says, a thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on, somebody say amen. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said directly, first person, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That's why I serve him without apology. That's why I'm not ashamed, whether it's a king or a mayor. I mean, God has a sense of humor. This Thursday, I have to go to Tampa, somewhere in Tampa, because the third president of the United States, this is hysterical, is giving me an award. I had it from Clinton and the second Bush and this president. I asked Renee if she could join me for the banquet. She said she might. It's hard for her to leave the ladies. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no king like King Jesus. One day when I stand before the Lord and Mike Modica stands before him and I take that crown off and throw it at his feet and say, it's not mine, it's not worthy of it. It's going to be one greater than President Clinton. It's going to be one greater than President Bush. It's going to be one greater than President Obama. It's going to be one greater than the great mayor of the city. It's going to be one greater than Moses. It's going to be one greater than Abraham. It's going to be one greater than Paul. It's going to be one greater than Peter, the one who died for me, the Word that became flesh. I'm waiting to live. I live my life to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter. That's why this isn't something we come to once a week. My God, if you've been around here long enough, He gave His life for you. You have to give your life to Him. When you wake up in the morning, you don't say, oh, Lord, it's morning. Say, good morning, Lord. This is the day that you have made. You and I are going to be able to take on everything today. Because he's the Word that became flesh. He's not a figment of anybody's imagination. He's not a religious leader. Jesus didn't come and die on a cross to start a new religion. He is the I Am. I Am's no religion. He's I Am. He's the fullness of God in bodily form. In Isaiah, he's the ultimate prophetic promise. 750 years before Jesus came, the first advent. Listen, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means what, folks? God with us. First time I went to Israel, my only time I went to Israel, I asked one of the, at the Wailing Wall. Isn't it funny? I told you before, for the last 3 years, they don't call it the Wailing Wall anymore. The rabbis, the rabbonis, the master rabbis, they call it the Waiting Wall. They believe Messiah is about to come. And I said, listen, your own prophet Isaiah, 2,750 years ago, said he'd be born of a virgin. Hello? With honor, I've said that. Emmanuel. Emmanuel's more than a nice name on a Christmas card. We believe in the Word that became flesh. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. We need not look for another. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, two chapters later, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, catch this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, don't worry about D.C., don't worry about Belgium, Kyiv, Moscow, St. Petersburg, Sydney, Buenos Aires, I don't care what or who, the G7, 820, doesn't matter, listen, the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name, may I say, it's above every name, will be called Wonderful. Oh, I hope you know him as Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. He's Mighty God. He is Mighty God. He is the Son of Man, touched by our infirmities, but he's also the Son of God. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the Mighty God. Nothing could happen to you that isn't Father filtered. It catches God by surprise. And we respond the right way in Christ. He promises you there's not even anything, and even any temptation, there's more than you could handle. And he'll show himself strong and even give you a way of escape in his darkest and hideous form. First Corinthians 10:13. Or 2 Corinthians 10:13. Run them both down. He's the everlasting Father. We had a whole generation of fatherless people. You watch television for 5 minutes, every father is a moron, a jerk, if he's even on the show. Neutered by Hollywood, or made abusive and ugly, or absentee. Visiting one of my spiritual sons in South Florida yesterday, on the way down, young pastor. He's an everlasting father. He's not absentee. The only way I could honestly promise you that he's not absentee is first on the premise that he's the Word that became flesh through Jesus. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Thus, he's my perfect father. An everlasting father, not part-time. Not Sunday morning only. Not if you're good enough. And he's the Prince of Peace, which means he has, just by that term and that title, you've heard me say it before Christmas time, he has the authority as well as the ability to give you what no world, no drug could give you. He's the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and his peace, there'll be no end. Stop. Oh, no, this is it. Oh, no, Jesus. Oh, what are we going to do now? Oh, this big evil. Oh, administration changes. Oh, the sovereignty of our nation's going down the tubes. Oh, you know, you're worried about that. Just talk to our Christian friends around the world. They say, hey, we've been used to that. Our government's the worst government. They're heathen. They're Islam, whatever. They're crazy. But as we know him, his government is expanding. It might be underground. There's no end to his kingdom. And from the days of John the Baptist till now, the gospel says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and violence taken by force. You want to be on a losing side? You want to get annihilated? You want to be impoverished and end up in hell? Don't serve the word that became flesh. Okay, how tough you are, you'll be begging for mercy. When God gave us all to give you mercy through that word that became flesh. There'll be no end to his government. Governments, kings, and kingdoms are all passing away. They're in process now. And he'll order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time, I believe it's now, forward, even forever. Listen, I love this part. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. I didn't learn this anywhere. I really believe it doesn't violate the exegesis of Scripture. I believe the zeal of the Lord of hosts is the body of Christ. I believe the body of Christ is going to be a part of that, that perfects it, that accomplishes it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, his glory upon his bride, his church, we're going to accomplish it. I don't believe that Jesus is coming back for a church that's holding up some little white hanky or some little white surrender flag. Oh, come and get us, Jesus. The world is beating us up. I don't believe he's coming back for a church that looks like a spotted whore in immorality, no different than the world. I believe he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I believe God is right now getting the iron of his word and his Holy Spirit, and he's pressing the cloth, the refiner's fire, and getting out the junk out of our lives, singularly and plurally. He's getting people that once knew him that are backslidden to hunger and thirst for righteousness to come back. He is going to perform it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Excuse me. Believe. Now more than ever, I believe. Hallelujah. Now more than ever, you could believe. You know, I'll tell you something, you are. If you just hang around this place for the next 40-some weeks until the end of this year, let me tell you, because you know why? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The word of God is building belief in your life. You're going to believe. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. I get calls from missionaries. I get calls by evangelists, by so-called prophets and prophets, and by people. There's a wind of direction. I have a word for you. I said, listen, I love you. See me in about a year. I said, don't break my focus. God has given this body a strategic path. I don't want to hear about your flim, your this or that. I don't care. I love it. But I know what God has said, and we're going to believe him. We're all on the same page. Scripture says we're all speaking the same thing because God is building belief in our heart. He's building it. This is why we believe. Because he is who he is, the great I am. Therefore, we believe. Acts 17:29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that that divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Because he's the word that became flesh. And the moment we believe, we're his offspring. We're the children of God. In Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, listen, Christ invisible, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen, those 81% that should know better, the born-again believers, those 91% of Americans, Those 99.1% of 18 to 23 years old, no excuse. No excuse. I'm here today visiting. I still don't believe. No excuse. What else does God have to do? Especially living in America, a church on every corner. five or six Christian radio broadcasts, two or three Christian radio stations. The Word of God, 20 translations all over the place. Even in a hotel, you'll find a New Testament, at least, for the most part. We're without excuse not to believe that He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Colossians 2:9, listen. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We don't have to look for another. We don't have to run here and there. We don't have to look for a lesser God. There was a movie about 30 years ago, Children of a Lesser God. Never watch it. We serve the King of every king and the Lord of lords. And only the mind and the miraculous of God could pour Himself into human form that separates the men from the boys, from God, from all the false deities, from relationship to simple religion. We believe in the Word that became flesh. We believe in the fullness of God in bodily form. I'll tell you what else we believe. That He's both Lord, Savior, and fully God. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. Listen, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. That's why we were able to do that visit to Genesis 1:24-26. He was in the beginning with God. Listen. All things that were made, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made. I don't care what it is. I don't care the technology. I don't care the palm trees. I don't care the clouds that we see the sky, the moon by night, the sun by day, the mineral, the oil, the gold, human flesh. Nothing that was made that it wasn't made by Him, the Word that became flesh. John 1:18, listen, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. About John 14:6, 7, 8, and 9, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, verse 7, he said, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, oh, Lord, show us the Father. I meet people today. Oh, no. Oh, it's just me and God. I go, listen, it's you and nobody. The only way you get to God is through Jesus, because He is God. Oh, I got to look for more truth. Oh, I'm going through this crisis. Oh, I don't believe anymore. Pow, pow, pow. Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. His gifts and calling are irrevocable. He's the only thing stable. We've lived through all kind of moves of God, and I love them all. But let me tell you something, our DNA remains the same. He desires none to perish, but all come to repentance. He's preparing a bride. He's the only hope of the community. He's the only hope for the city. He's the only hope for our nation. He's the only hope of the world. Philip said, oh, Lord, if it just shows the Father, it's sufficient for us. He's trying to bring his buddies into this. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. No one can make that statement unless he is the fullness of God in bodily form. Unless he is both Lord, Savior, fully God. Please. Listen, I don't download these out of the internet. This is something He's been writing on my heart. This is just the simplicity of the gospel. How long have I been with you? And you don't know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? May I submit this to you very graciously? How could some of you could be here more than a couple weeks and not stand up and totally give your life to Christ and receive the gift of eternal life? A perfect Father. The person and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear, because He said, I'll be with you. I am with you always, even until the end of time. Listen, it's closing time. I know that, which means it's believing time. We believe in the Word who became flesh, and He is the fullness of God in bodily form. He is both Lord, Savior, and fully God. But what must we understand? See, to know these things is still not enough. I have to borrow something from our friend. The pastors right here in this church has had a privilege becoming and being a part of Dr. Bill Bright, being at his house twice, his wife serving us food, one of the most incredible men of the 20th century, who's with the Lord now. He wrote a tract, and my wife and I, probably in the late 70s, gave tens of thousands out over the 70s and 80s. It's called Four Spiritual Laws. Law one, God loves you and has an incredible plan for your life. Law number two, sin separates us from His love. And the wages of sin is death. Law number three, Jesus is God's gift, the Word who became flesh, that restores sinful men to a holy God and gives them eternal life. But you know what law four is? Dr. Bright, very wise man. It's not enough to just know law one, two, and three. Law number four, one must personally receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for him or herself. The Lord Jesus Christ is what we must understand as the Son of God, has always existed. He too is without beginning or end. Revelation 1:8, the apocalypse. I am the Alpha and Omega, my God. See Him in His majesty. Stop seeing Him as the babe of the manger, though He had His first advent. Stop seeing Him, but must see Him as the Lord on the cross. We must go through Him. Understand, and I saw that empty tomb in Israel. It's pretty impressive, and thank God, or else we'd be wasting our time. Paul said we'd be worshiping in vain if He didn't resurrect from the dead. But I want you to look a little bit higher and see who's waiting for us. See who's going to come for us. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus that we serve, the Word that became flesh. In order to complete His earthly sacrificial mission, He became human by being born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:23, Luke 1:31-35. He lived a perfect life absolutely without sin, Hebrews 7:26, 1 Peter 2:22. While on earth, He worked many miracles through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:22, Acts 10:38. In order to restore fallen mankind, He died on a cross as a substitute for the sins of every person, 1 Corinthians 15:3, 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was raised from the dead by the power of God, Matthew 28:6, Luke 24:39, 1 Corinthians 6, 15 and 1 Corinthians 15:4. Since His resurrection, He's been exalted. He's been seated at the right hand of the Father, Acts 1:9, 11, Acts 2:22, Hebrews 1:3. And had been given a name that's above every other name. Philippians 2:9-10. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name, Philippians 2:9-10, I'm reading, has given Him a name which is above every name. John Paul, Mike Modica, not even putting us at the same level, okay? Mother Teresa, Paul, Peter, Andrew, even Pastor Carol, Pastor Carl, Pastor Nate, even above those names. Yeah. Love them all. Martin Luther, John Wesley, Charles Finney, Brother Seymour, Dr. Trask. That at the name of Jesus, listen, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth. Come on now, man. You ought to be shouting by now. This is the God who we serve. This is who we work. This is who we serve. This is why we reach people. This is the reason why we give. This is the reason why we build, because we believe his kingdom is going to continue. We believe his words. He says, occupy until I return. I don't say it's over until I say it's over, because he's the word that became flesh. Come on, listen, to know and agree these truths is not enough. As you heard, 81% of those who are claimed to be born again believers know these things, but don't believe them. They became futile in their own thinking. But the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those of earth and under those of the earth. It's not enough. We must believe and believe in him first. Everything starts and ends here. 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason, Paul says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Listen, this is his conclusion before he's martyred, the great theologian, the great Jewish doctor, the great super apostle. He knew the Pentateuch. He knew the prophets, minor major. He bore witness of the resurrection of Christ. He was used more than anyone else to birth churches. He was and wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. And this is his conclusion. I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And as a result, I could be persuaded in everything else you're going to get for the next 40 weeks. I am persuaded that he is able to keep his promises, to keep the promises I lay hold of and commit to him, to able to keep what I have committed to him even until that day. Listen, you have his word on it. And next week, you'll see that word. Stand with me.